On a late November night in 2012, while driving in the foothills of Washington, two brothers were surrounded by mysterious creatures. Still haunted and forever changed, these men took to the internet, creating a forum for others. If you've had an encounter, and no one else can help, maybe you can contact Sasquatch Chronicles.
It looked like somebody was bent over and had their head in the window of the deer blind, and it either heard me or smelt me, and he pulled his head out of the tent and stood straight up, and that shocked me. They don't make people that big.
The way it moved, almost as if it was gliding across the beach. I've never seen anything move like that in my life. They were screaming at each other in gibberish. It sounded like a language, and they were chuntering away back and forwards, back and forwards, back and forwards. I know what a bear looks like, and there is no way on this planet that what I saw were bears.
This is the best podcast in the whole world. I'm Lily, and you're watching Sasquatch Chronicles. A-boom!
Welcome to the show, everyone. Thanks for being here tonight. Got a great show planned for you. We'll be chatting with Jacqueline. And Jacqueline has kind of a scary encounter, an abduction encounter that happened to her. And, when I was talking to her off the air, I really wanted to hear the whole thing. So this will be the first time I'm hearing it, the whole thing tonight. But I'm fascinated by these accounts. And then we'll wrap up with Eric. Eric comes to us from New York, and just this last January, he was out hiking with his daughter when a very strange incident happened. His daughter talking about seeing this very large man cross the path in front of them, and as I was talking to Eric off the air, he was telling me, a lot of weird things have happened to him in this area, and it's very close to his home, and I'll kind of let him go into it. If you've had an encounter and you'd like to be on the show, shoot me an email. My email address is wes@sasquatchchronicles.com. And if you get a chance, check out sasquatchchronicles.com. You can become a member and get additional shows. Let's jump into it tonight. I want to welcome Jacqueline to the show. Jacqueline, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, anytime.
Yeah, I'm excited to chat with you, Jacqueline. I was telling you off the air, I've heard probably a dozen or so of these type of encounters, mainly off the air. So I do appreciate you coming on the air and sharing it. All of this kind of started back in 2009. If you would kind of start from the beginning and kind of walk me into this whole, what's happened with you and these incidences of these, I guess I'll call them entities, or we can call them aliens showing up. Walk me into this, if you would.
So I've pretty much had encounters like off and on throughout my whole life. But when it started really happening progressively more, was probably spring of 2009. I was over in Perrysburg, and I was camping with three other friends. And I'll give you the setup real quick. So it's pretty much the middle of nowhere. There's sheep farms. It's very secluded. It's right off the Indian reservation. So I was camping on probably like 25 acres, and you could see pretty much almost all field until you hit the back of the acreage, and then it's all woods. So we're camping, we're sitting at the bonfire, kind of talking, and all of us noticed that this star gradually starts getting brighter, and probably within 3-4 seconds, it explodes into like a stadium light where we could see all 25 acres, like we're playing football in a field. So I'm going to call him M. M and C pull out their phone and try to video this, and their phones are dead. Just completely dead. So we're sitting there like kind of in awe, like, what is this? Like, what's going on? And then it just vanishes and it's nighttime again. So we're talking about it. And then pretty much as soon as we're like, what was that? You could hear the sheep going off. We had a dog named Max with us. He was a border collie mix. He runs into the tent, was afraid to come out, would not come out. So all of us go in the tent and just, you know, kind of start talking. And that was the last thing I remember. And we were waking up and it was probably 10 o'clock in the morning. The second encounter. So I had my daughter in February, and probably I'd say around fall, I had moved to Salamaca, and the apartments were actually an old school building that they had turned into apartments. And so these windows were like almost the whole entire width and height of this 8-foot ceiling span. So it was a very big picture window, and I'm sitting in the living room facing the window, and there it looked like a basketball sized orb that just kind of fell right in front of the window. And I get up and run to the window, and I saw this orb fall into like a yard. So I'm at the back of the apartment. There's a driveway, there's a baseball field, a road, and then there's an abandoned house. So I get up and I run to this window to like see this orb fall into this yard. And as soon as it hit the ground, you couldn't see it anymore. Two black SUVs pulled out of the driveway and went in opposite directions. And my child's father went down to go in to this house to like look around and stuff. He couldn't see anything. There was nothing there. There were no signs. Absolutely, like it never even happened. And then that winter, the contact started. I went to my dad's house, which wasn't very far from where I was originally living, to stay for a couple of days because I was sick. And I was there three days. The first 2 days were perfectly fine. That third night, I got Samaya in bed. It was a queen size bed. I go to lay down. It was probably a little bit after midnight. And I opened my eyes because I felt like I was being watched. Just uneasy. I open my eyes and there are these aliens standing in the room with me. Give me a second. So the wall, or like the bed, is pushed up against the wall straight across from the doorway. And the doorway opens up into the room, into like the middle of the room. And then there's actually a staircase that goes upstairs. So it's like a little alcove that you cross over to get into the bedroom. So I open my eyes and they're probably about 2.5-3 feet there was a soft yellow glow coming from the alcove, and there isn't a light in the hallway. It was like a pale yellowy orange, very soft. And the one in the doorway had told me, push her away. So I leaned over and I pushed my daughter towards the wall, all the way to the wall. And there was another one at the foot of the bed, like right at the end of the bed, almost at the corner. And then there was one on the side of the bed where my feet would go. And then there was one at my waist. And I was nervous. I was scared. I didn't know, like almost a panic. And as soon as I started feeling that, I heard, it's kind of like a telepathy. Like they don't actually speak. It's in your head, but it's not your inner monologue, if that kind of makes sense. It said, like, pretty much along the lines, like, you can be curious and we're not supposed to touch. So the one that was standing in the doorway, I had a feeling like it was more of like a general or like a higher up, like rank. And then the two that were at the foot of the bed were observation. And the one that I was supposed to be interacting with was the one that was where my waist would be. So I turn over and I want to touch this alien, and I know I'm not supposed to, but I do anyway. And when we reach up, they have three fingers in the middle and then like kind of like a thumb, but it's not placed where our thumb would actually be. It's closer to where like a pointer finger would be. And we, I'm sorry, like I'm shaking. our fingers start to interlock, like our fingertips start to interlock. And I sit straight up out of my bed, and there was sunlight starting to peek through the window. I had lost like 4 or 5 hours of time. My bed was completely like soaked, drenched in sweat. I had to completely take the blankets and the sheets and the pillowcases. I had to completely take everything off. Samaya was pushed all the way to the to the wall, still sleeping. And I was sick. I started feeling better within a couple days after that. And periodically I have encounters like that off and on. The most recent one was actually probably like 4 months ago. But it's not just me now, it's my daughter experiencing this too.
Yeah, what happened 4 months ago?
So my daughter was cleaning stalls in the barn. It was really, really, really foggy. We have tarps down on the end of the barn to kind of block some of the wind. And she comes inside. She's like, Mom, I want you to come outside with me. So I go outside and she's like, there's something that's watching me. So I'm standing in the barn with her and we hear this. It was kind of like a bug, but a mechanic high-pitched frequency noise that we were hearing. And like, I've never heard a noise like this. It wasn't a generator, or it was weird. That was the first time we heard it. The second time she was out in the run-in behind the house, and she could see silhouettes of these creatures moving back and forth with the same noise.
Yeah, very strange. When they were in your room, would you describe what you were looking at?
So the one that was standing in the doorway, it was facing me and it was almost perfectly centered in the middle of actually the door frame. Like it was overseeing me and the other three. And it was a feeling that it was, it had a higher ranking. It was a general. It was a higher up than the other three. And then the two that were at the end of the bed, they were both, the one was facing directly straight at me at the end of the bed. And then the one that was on the side towards my feet was actually facing down the bed, but angled towards me. And then the one that was at my waist was actually turned into the bed. And where the bed fell on that one, it was right above where like our belly button would be. I didn't see nipples. I didn't see collarbone. There was no hair. Their eyes were almond shaped, but it didn't take up their whole entire top part of their head. Like you see a lot of drawings, like cartoon wise, it's not like that. From what I could see, it was like a flat black eye color. There is a nose, but it's not like ours. It's more of kind of a lump with slits. They don't have lips. It's kind of like it goes straight from their chin into a slit where their mouth would be, and it is shorter. They're not really skinny. I would say more lean, and you can see like where their ribs would be. And then the fingers, like there's three fingers in the middle, but then a thumb, I would say it would be a thumb because of how it was placed. It was more like where the pointer finger and the actual hand would meet together. That's where that thumb would come out. Their fingers are a little bit longer and it kind of widens at the tips. It's not like a bulb. It's, I wouldn't really say wedge shape because the fingers are still round. And the texture of the skin, there's nothing on this planet that I could just like accurately compare the texture of their skin to. I've never felt or seen anything that I could compare it to accurately. The color of their skin was like a pale gray kind of color, but it wasn't all uniform either. Like people have blemishes and stuff like that, or like sunspots. It was kind of like that. Like there were very small, distinctive, like a mole or freckles or something like that on his hand. It's just, I don't know. It still gets to me.
Do you have any physical effects after these encounters?
I mean, as like time loss, I ended up pregnant when that the first light that kind of exploded into like a stadium light, I had my daughter in February. This encounter happened probably like spring. I was going through an ectopic pregnancy when this specific encounter happened. So they gave me like two shots of methotrexate, which is a low dose of chemotherapy. My hair was falling out. I was losing weight. I was sick all the time. 2 months of blood work every other day to make sure my HCG levels were decreasing. After the encounter, a couple days after that encounter, I started feeling better. I started putting weight on. My hair wasn't falling out.
Yeah, very strange. When they were in your bedroom, and I don't know because I've never encountered the grays, I think I know exactly what you were looking at, though, based on other eyewitnesses. But did their facial expression change at all? I know, realize they're communicating through telepathy, but did the face change at all?
Nope. It was just like, it was just blank. Like, you're looking at someone and they're there, but they're not there. It was just a very flat expression. Their lips didn't move. Their eyes didn't shift from left to right. It, like, you really couldn't tell if they were looking left or right. It was just a solid black eye. The one in the doorway, it was more of just a silhouette because the light was behind it in that hallway. So you could pretty much see the silhouette, but how the one was right next to me was faced, like, you could see half of the face and the chest and stuff. I knew that I wasn't supposed to be afraid. It was like a feeling. It was like something in my head saying that it's okay to be curious. Like I don't know how to explain it. It was in my head, but it wasn't my inner, like, monologue talking. Like, I wasn't talking to myself. It was something else interjecting.
I gotcha. What gave you the impression the one in the doorway was actually in charge?
It was a feeling how he stood there. How he just kind of, it was just a different, like, I don't know how to explain it. It's more of a feeling than a physical type, like, knowledge, I guess you would say. It just how he was standing there, just the other two were more focused on what they were seeing as far as me and this fourth one. The first one was more kind of just in the background overseeing everything. He just stayed there the whole entire encounter. I mean, all three of them stayed in the same spot, but he didn't come closer. He didn't back away. He just stood there perfectly where he could see all four of us interacting amongst ourselves. So, like, between the doorway and the bed, there was probably, like, I'd say 4 feet where the bed was to the actual doorway. It was a queen size bed, if that kind of gives you, like, dimension type.
Did you ever get the impression, like, what is it that they want with you?
I had thought that, and I didn't get an answer. I mean, it's kind of like I still want an answer. I still want another encounter to ask the questions that I didn't get to ask. But at the same time, like, I'm absolutely terrified. Like, in a sense, I guess you'd say it's more of a longing. It kind of felt like home in a way.
When you say that, what do you mean?
I need a second. I always felt like there was something more that, like, I really didn't belong here, if that kind of makes sense. I don't know if there were other encounters like this that maybe I was too young to remember or just blocked out. And then being able to remember one and experience it, I don't know if that's, you know. It was almost like we had a connection in a way.
Can I ask you, you know, before we started recording, I was telling you the story about this old man that decided to run his mouth off to my mother, and kind of how me and my brothers handled that situation, which was probably very immature. But so everyone handles things differently, I guess, is where I'm going with this.
You know, if I wake up and I'm in bed and I'm in my room and there's four, and you describe them as kind of short, 2 to 3 feet tall beings in my room, I'm probably going to get up and mop the floor with all four of them. And I don't really care what they have to say or what the message is. I got a message for them. And I'm not saying that's a great way to handle it, but that's probably how I would handle it. When you were in that situation, why do you think the panic didn't set in?
I didn't want to leave Samaya there. I was afraid. I was kind of frozen. And then it was how the one next to me had spoke to me, push her away. It's okay to interact. It wasn't aggressive. It wasn't like controlling. It was softer. It was almost monotone, kind of. I didn't feel like I had to fight or run away. I wouldn't say it was necessarily like caring, but more curious than anything else. I feel like all of the experiences I've had up until that point, I mean, I'm pretty used to weird stuff happening. A lot of like, I really don't get freaked out over a lot of stuff.
What do you think that these aliens are? I mean, I've heard different theories and I can have my own thoughts, but I've never actually encountered one. So, you know, I'm just shooting from the hip with my ideas, but what do you think that they are?
I mean, we'd be kind of silly to think that we're the only planet in billions and trillions of planets that have like a thought process. There has to be other planets that are similar to ours that have probably have already went through this phase of evolution. I mean, I imagine that's an evolutionary timeline just magnified by billions of years.
Yeah, I'm just trying to wrap my head around to where you're at on this, Jacqueline. I mean, like I said before, you know, if there was four beings in my room and they're telling me to push my kid away, my response is probably going to be go F yourself. And then I'm going to start hurting these things that are in my home. And again, maybe that's why I don't get visited by aliens, but you know, your reaction to it is pretty calm. I think I would freak out and I think I'd probably respond with aggression. You know, what's strange is I've been watching a lot of these near-death experiences, and I'm going to come back around to what you were just talking about, but what's fascinating in these near-death experiences is you'll find that whether someone goes to heaven or whether they go to hell, they're very consistent on what they say. There's a lot of consistencies, and I tend to believe these people. You know, you're talking about a guy that's been dead for like 15 minutes and then he comes back and he has all this details about where he's been and what has happened. But one thing that's fascinating, they all say, again, whether they're going to heaven or hell, is they communicate through like telepathy. No one actually speaks. It's all through their mind. So in my mind, I hear that and I think, well, in the spirit realm, this is how they communicate. It's not from the mouth like how we are. And when you hear these alien encounters, every eyewitness says the same thing. You communicate through what seems to be telepathy. Do you think they're, and I know you're thinking, well, these are aliens from some other place, which could be true. I don't know one way or another, but do you think there might be something darker to this whole thing?
I mean, you just like people, you have to have, I mean, there's bad people and there's good people. Do I believe all, you know, aliens or extraterrestrials are good? No. Do I believe there are good ones? Yeah. Do I believe there's more than just one type? Absolutely. I mean, look at how many different races of people there are in the world. That's just kind of how I think of it.
You know, it's interesting. I bring up the dark part because I've probably interviewed off the air maybe a dozen or more people who claim to have been taken. There was a famous UFO researcher. Gosh, I wish I could remember his name. He was kind of outcasted from the UFO world. But this guy was actually a real scientist. He was, as far as researchers go, he was top of the food chain when it came to researchers. And coincidentally enough, he was an atheist. And what was fascinating through his research, through interviewing eyewitnesses who have been taken, he started to come across where people would cry out in Jesus Christ's name. I'm not religious. I don't go to church. That's not where I'm going with this. But what was fascinating with his research is time and time again, when people would cry out and use that name, the process of being taken would stop. And, you know, through interviewing eyewitnesses, the same question comes up every time.